Monday,
February 16, 2015. This is the Hockey Guys Podcast, episode 23. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, with my co-host, Chris Shannon. Chris, Monday sucked. Minus 13 Fahrenheit in Toronto. How are you doing in sunny Florida?
Well, I'm right next to a hot window where it's 90 degrees, and we got some clouds and a little windy, but looks like you're doing a little.
What do the clouds look like?
They look like it's going to rain, but it's all right. I'd rather it rain than it be snowing, so I'm happy.
Must be so tough. Must be so tough.
And it's a hard life. Yeah, it's a hard life.
Ugh. Do you golf at all, Chris?
You know, I try to, but I'm not too good. But I like it. I play tennis more, but yes, golf is fun sometimes.
Oh, very nice.
I don't have the patience, but I'm trying more and more.
No, I've definitely thrown a few 7-irons into the water. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
Shout out Forest City Glen Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. All right, I guess we should probably talk hockey at some point, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what we should do.
All right. We're going to lead off with some news from yesterday. The Toronto Maple Leafs traded Cody Franzen and Mike Santarelli to Nashville in exchange for a first-round pick, Brendan Lesbick and Olli Jokinen. Chris, your initial thoughts on the trade?
Didn't know who Lesbick was until I read a little bit on him. Looks like he'll be a third, fourth liner NHLer in a couple of years, so that's good. And a first overall or first pick is always good. He'll probably be around 28th or 30th, as good as Nashville's been doing, but that's a solid trade. I mean, Franzen, free agent after this year, they weren't going to sign him up. It was good. And Santarelli, we knew he was getting traded, but that's the beginning of the rebuild in Toronto.
When I got the notification on my phone about the trade, the first thing that I saw was it seemed as much of a hockey trade as others that we've seen involving like players at the deadline. And what I liked about it was that the fact that the Leafs combined Franzen and Santarelli, I think it maximized their value because on their own, I don't think teams were going to bite on a straight-up Franzen for a first-round pick. And
no.
I don't think Santarelli himself, despite the fact he's had a good season, he's been one of the lone bright spots for the Leafs, I didn't see him getting a ton of value either on the open market. I didn't see a team parting ways with a top prospect or a second-round pick. So what I liked about this deal was the Leafs combined those two, and it gave Nashville the ability to say, we'll give you the first-round pick and what seems like a somewhat legitimate prospect, but you got to take on Olli Jokinen's salary. And in the situation the Leafs are now, it's no big deal. They don't mind. I do feel for Jokinen a bit that he's
so
played
sad.
Like a handful of playoff games in his life, and now he's getting traded to a team that's publicly tanking.
Yeah, I feel bad. But it seems like Toronto fan base as a whole liked the trade, which is rare from what I saw on Twitter. So that's good. You know.
Yeah, and I think there was
today, and he sounded busy. He sounded busy on the phone this week, so it's good they got that trade done.
And part of me is kind of glad they got it out of the way, too. I feel like if there's a deal that's there to be made, and especially in this year's draft where first-round picks are going to be worth something, a lot of people are saying, well, it won't be more than a late-round pick. Well, that's all you were going to get if you were going to get a first-round pick, in the sense that teams that are going to make a playoff run, they wanted a player like Franzen. So you had to be prepared to take something that's going to be in the 20s. And not to mention, this trade enables Toronto to use that pick, and they can maneuver themselves higher in the draft. There's a lot of opportunity to combine picks. They've got players that they want to unload. There is a trade out there where they can use the assets that they've accumulated, and they're going to keep getting more assets as they keep unloading on guys. They can put themselves in a position where they can get some top picks in this year's draft and load up in their prospect system.
Yeah, for sure. And Darren Dreger just tweeted out that Montreal, Calgary, and Pittsburgh were all interested in Franzen, but they couldn't match Nashville's offer. I mean, Nashville's a scary-looking team now. That defense group and their goaltending situation is it's scary to watch them. I think this Western Conference playoffs matchup is going to be crazy. I saw that they're done with trades this for their deadline, and they're going to go with their roster. That's what I saw on Twitter today. I still look at that forward group and think they need some help. I mean, James Neal, he's a solid scorer. Mike Ribeiro is surprising everyone. Colin Wilson, nice underrated player now. But I don't know. I just don't see them being able to match up against the Chicago's and St. Louis's in the Western Conference. But we'll see. I mean, that defensive group is, like I said, so scary. And Shea Weber, I've been watching Nashville more and more. One of the best defensemen out there. I underrated in a way.
I can see that.
No one watches. Yeah, I feel he's so good.
The thing about Nashville, too, is that two of their top four scorers are D in Weber and Josi. And they've got Philip Forsberg, who's having a tremendous season for a 20-year-old, 50 points, 56 games.
Oh, I forgot Forsberg,
But like you said, they still have a lot of holes up front. And it's a team that, like, we talk about first-round picks getting traded. We remember Paul Gostad, who in 48 games this year has a big whopping one goal. And
wasn't it two first-round picks, right?
Yeah, and when you look at it, it's a deal that it's good for Nashville in the sense that it strengthens their blue line. And I think Santarelli will be a nice depth piece for them. I think he's a guy who, as I was watching throughout the season with the Leafs, they put him with Loophole or JVR or the odd shift with someone where he could come in and he didn't look out of place. So I think he's a guy who, especially when you get into March and April and if they go on a deep run in May, he'll be able to contribute. One last thing from the Leafs' perspective, Lepsic, who they acquired from Nashville, he's a guy who put up some really big numbers in junior. I'm looking here. As a 19-year-old, he had 49 goals and 120 points. And so far this year in Milwaukee, he's got 35 and 47. So you look at a deal like that, and it's a player who he's developing at a really good rate, third-round pick, and it's someone who he can work with the Marlies, he can get better and improve. Not like his game so far is excuse me, he's called by the Hockey News called him the most annoying prospect in hockey for 2014. And so when you have a combination of being a rat but as well as having offensive ability, you get into that category of the Antoine Roussels, of guys who are just a pain in the ass, but the reason why they're such a pain in the ass is because they can contribute offensively, and that's so hard to find in the NHL. So the fact that they were able to pick him up to kind of counter Santarelli, and not to mention just take on Jokinen's contract, again, I feel bad for him, but it was a deal that was there, and good on Toronto for pulling the trigger.
I think Olli Jokinen will be traded, probably for a 7th, 6th round pick, but I think a team that's going into the playoff run, I feel like that little depth. Fourth line center.
No doubt. That's enough friends and talk for one day. I feel like I beat it to death yesterday, and we've recapped it right now. Let's move on to a little interesting tidbit from last night. Ryan Getzlaf, the Anaheim Ducks, they played against the Caps, and in that game, after the game, Getzlaf called Ovechkin embarrassing to the game. On a play that Getzlaf got called for a penalty and Ovi sort of dove. And in the post game from Eric Stevens of the OC Register, I didn't know he was going to dive in the way he did all over the effing ice. Getzlaf didn't sound too happy. Chris, what do you think?
As being a Habs fan and seeing diving happen every night, I actually am strongly against it. And I do recognize that a lot of Montreal Canadiens do dive. But, you know, Ovechkin, I didn't watch the game last night, but just he's such a good player. I find he's such a good scorer. He's a hitter. Everyone dives. I mean, there's a couple times they're going to dive. Getzlaf dives. Like, he's been known for diving, too. I mean, I think he's just mad that he lost the game, and I think his emotions got out. But I don't know if you can say that Ovechkin's diving like Brad Marchand or PK Subban. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna rewatch that game, but I mean, Ovechkin's a great player, and the way he plays isn't like he's a guy who just falls down. So Getzlaf was probably just pissed he lost 5-3 last night.
It's ironic because 2 months ago Getzlaf got called for diving on December 16th against the Leafs. He Phaneuf tried to finish a check on him, and Getzlaf looked like he was swimming. It looked like he was doing the breaststroke. So
yeah.
the fact that he calls out Obi on that, not to mention, like, Getzlaf has to look no further than his own locker room. I mean, he's got Corey Perry and Ryan Kessler.
Corey Perry dives.
A lot of good players. Yeah. They have notorious reputations for diving. I mean, like you said, I think it was Getzlaf kind of, there was a sense of no self-awareness. Like, he wasn't, I don't think he realized what he was saying. I think, like you said, he was pissed off, but, like, I used to be against diving. I used to really be anti-diving, called it cowardly, and if you dive, you're a loser. But, you know, this is professional sports, and these guys are going to do anything it takes to win. And if you can get a cheap minor penalty in a situation where, you know, you can kind of sell it, then, like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to get a man advantage? It's professional sport. Guys cheat all the time. Teams deflate footballs to win. I mean, like, what more? I just find it ironic that he says that. And
yeah, it's
a black woman like Ovechkin, who's one of the best players in the league. And trust me, there are a lot of guys. Like, we just talked about James Neal. Like, 5 minutes ago we talked about him. He's a notorious diver. Yeah. He got fined for diving this year. PK Subban got fined. I mean, and how many times do we see Sidney Crosby sell a call? Exactly. It's just part of the game. So I think that, well, I understand where Getzlaf's coming from. I think there's got to be a bit of self-awareness on what he said.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. Diving's such a huge story the last 2 years with PK Subban and Brad Marchand going after each other. Everyone does it. The referees are the ones who control it. It's in their hands, and players are always going to do it, and it's been happening forever. It's not like this is new. Getzlaf, like, it really bothers me that he said that when I first saw it, because right when I thought to myself was, this guy does the same thing. Why is he saying that? But it's a small story. I like how you brought that up, though. I think it's a very hypocritical thing for him to say.
Yeah, it's just unnecessary, and we'll forget about it by the time the show's done. But I just thought it was, if anything, it was just ignorant on his behalf. So, whatever. That's good for him. Moving on. Let's talk a little Florida Panthers, shall we?
Yeah.
I won't lie, as someone who I follow the Leafs a lot, and I'm trying to watch more games every night, but the Florida Panthers have been a team that I've actually really enjoyed watching this year. Like we were talking before the show, it seems like every one of their games goes to overtime. And, you know, for a team that's highest point getter has 35 points, they've actually been really fun to watch this year.
Yeah, I mean, I live right here, and they're my second favorite team. I'm always a Montreal Canadiens fan, but I love watching them, as well as Winnipeg. They're my two favorite teams to watch. And just the young guns they came out with this year, Bukestad, Barkov, Ekblad, like, it's crazy. I knew he was a great defenseman, but this is like Nick Lidstrom. Like, it's amazing. I just hope they can make the playoffs, because everyone's talking about the attendance records. Yes, the attendance is bad, but the reason the attendance is so bad is because you can't have consistent winning team. They haven't had a winning team for so long. Even they made the playoffs, I think, in 2011, but when was the last time they made it before that? You need to be consistent. Chicago and Buffalo and Boston, they all had problems getting people to their games, but then they became a great team. I think Florida has the capability of becoming a great team. They have, like I said, Bukestad, Barkov, and Ekblad. Those are three great pieces to build off of. Luongo's a great goaltender. I'm excited to watch this team next year. I feel, as we are starting to see, there's some Phil Kessel rumors, and I can totally see Phil Kessel going to the Florida Panthers. And I really see this team being good in the next couple years and dominant and maybe becoming a team that is consistent with the playoffs, which will bring fans.
Like we talked about, when you talk about attendance, I do feel bad for the Panthers because you're in a market where high school football is going to get more fans than the Florida Panthers. I mean, it's so hard for that team to try and generate interest. And even when they do win, it's tough to sell out. And I'm just looking right now at their numbers. Like, of all the teams who are contending for a playoff spot right now in the NHL, Florida by far has the worst goal differential at minus 18. I mean, this team just can't produce. But like we said, having Roberto Luongo is one of the best possible things that could have happened to them. I mean, 920 save percentage. He's putting up one of his best seasons in recent memory. He must love being able to just live in Florida, know he's going to get 60, 65 starts or whatever. It ain't no big thing. So, especially for this year, and, like, they have 12 overtime losses. I mean, like, this team, just, they somehow continue to get points, and they're only 3 points behind Boston right now. It seems like Washington's locked up that first wild card spot, getting 2 more points last night against Anaheim, and they're at 70 right now. Boston's at 63. And them and Florida have played the same amount of games. If Boston's one major injury away from just going in the toilet, and Florida's right there to grab that spot.
Exactly. And right now Florida's playing without probably their best defenseman, Willie Mitchell, who has surprised everyone. I mean, he's an old guy, but even you can see in L.A. they're missing him. Been a huge part of the Florida Panthers. But the thing with the Florida Panthers, what they did this year, they built off their free agents. But the free agents they got, they were players that won Stanley Cups. So they brought in players that won Stanley Cups with experience with their youth, and it's really brought in a great lineup. I mean, 2 years ago, their team was – I want to know how many people were actually on their team that were drafted by them. It was just they built their team off free agents. They still have a lot of free agents, but they now have that youth, and it's really the touch of the Florida Panthers and Dale Callen. And Gerard Gallant, great – coach, I'm really excited to see what he does this year. And I think he's done so far amazing with the team he has. Great assistant coach with Montreal. I really hope the Florida Panthers make the playoffs because I think they're going to be a team to watch. When you have a hot goaltender like Roberto Luongo, anything can happen in the playoffs.
I'm looking at I'm on hockeyanalysis.com and I'm looking at the advanced stats for the Panthers. They have 13 players with a Corsi of 50% or higher. And
wow.
And the guys who don't have it are Gabradson, who goes against some of the top players every night. Sean Thornton, who's just terrible at hockey.
Dave Bolin, too.
We haven't even – I could talk about Dave Bolin for hours. This guy has – as much as I love Dave Bolin, I got to watch him when I – was growing up in London, and he was putting up huge numbers, and I didn't mind him in his time in Toronto, but I knew they couldn't re-sign him. 3 goals in 34 games this year. He's been hurt. He hasn't been producing, and he's on the first year of that major contract that he signed last summer. He really has been a disappointment, someone who you almost wish he could contribute more so this team could just be a little bit more ahead than they are right now.
Yeah, I mean, like you said in the pre-show, we were talking about how we really think Bolin signed, or the Florida Panthers signed Bolin to that contract just to get above the cap. It's a weird contract, but they needed it. Right now, look at their defense group. It's Stephen Camper, Shane O'Brien, Willie Mitchell, Erik Branson. I mean, Alex Petrovic. Like, three of those guys are AHL players on their top six defensive group. I mean, it's a young team, and look how good they're doing. It surprised everyone. No one expected the Florida Panthers to be near the playoffs at all. It's a good story in the NHL this year.
It really is a good story, and it goes back to Luongo, too. Like, without him, this team's competing for a lottery spot more than a playoff spot. I think it's almost a... this year's Panthers group is almost like a petri dish of if you have goaltending in this league, you can win. Like no matter how poor your depth is or just how much you lack actual scoring ability or how many AHLers, like they said, you have in the lineup, if you have good goaltending, it's so nice to have. And it's something that, not to mention, let alone make the playoffs, if you make the playoffs with a good goaltender, you can steal games. You can steal games on the road, and before you know it, Florida Panthers could win their first-round matchup, all because they got a guy who stands on their head for 6 games.
2010, Yaroslav Halak with Montreal. I mean, no one thought they were going to be a playoff team, or even go far in the playoffs, at least, and they went to the conference finals. I mean, It really is the playoffs is crazy because it all relies on your goaltender. Your goaltender can bring you anywhere. That's why teams like Montreal, even Boston, with how bad they're doing, if they make the playoffs, I mean, Tuukka Rask has the capability of bringing them to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, it's a scary Eastern Conference because a hot goalie can bring your team to the Finals. In the Western Conference, not so much, but it's going to be interesting.
No doubt. And I don't know. And like I said, they're just the team right now. Like, I've kind of enjoyed the fact that I've got the center ice package. I've been watching games every night. Teams like the Islanders and Tampa Bay and Florida, and if you look at the West, like your San Jose's, your Winnipeg, even Calgary. Like, and right now Calgary, 65 points, they're in a playoff spot right now. I think a lot of us, myself included, thought the Calgary Flames were going to be utter garbage this year. And before you know it,
Not for sure.
they're 31-25 in the West in one of the toughest divisions in hockey. So it just shows that, like, if you can just string something together where you can have a good team or you can get hot or whatever, it can really work. And that's what the Panthers are doing right now. And we talked about their D. I mean, like, just to have like a young guy like Aaron Ekblad, who's having one of the best rookie seasons in modern history, still 18 years old, and the guy that everyone forgets about, the Corsi King, Brian Campbell. I mean, like, out of nowhere, this guy's just still contributing. He's got 17 points, 54% possession. I mean, even like, he's still a very good player. It really is amazing. Like, he's 35 years old, and he's still one of the best contributors on the roster. And even guys like Willie Mitchell, who they brought in the offseason, I mean, he's still at 50% possession. He's still putting up good numbers. He's still logging in big minutes. I mean, like, their D, it's not great, but if they're a team that's looking to add at the deadline, if they add a veteran blue liner, and it's easier said than done. It's so hard to find D in the NHL. But, you know, you added one or two extra guys in the blue line in front of Luongo, there's no doubt that you can win.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited to watch the Florida Panthers. If they don't make the playoffs, whatever. They had a great year and you build off that. Free agents this summer, I feel like they're going to be very active. Like I said, if Phil Kessel's available, I can totally see Florida being after them. They've got the young guns to trade with, and I think they'd trade some picks for them, for him at least. But it's going to be an interesting year. This team needs to learn how to win. The problem is they're a comeback team. They can't start off well, and they come back, and they fall just in overtime. They can't win in overtime or shootout. That's Luongo's. He can't win a shootout. Last night, you know, they were losing 1-0 against St. Louis, and then they tied it up, and they lost in shootouts again. It seems like that's a story every night, that they lose in shootouts or overtime or something. They just need to get these wins. You know, they had some games in hand on Boston, and they couldn't capitalize. But, you know, they've been doing so bad lately, but you look at the standings and you think, oh wow, look how good they're doing. Like it's crazy right now what's happening with Boston really too. I mean, Boston's so struggling so much, which I think, you know, I've watched Boston a little bit this year. Is this the year that you trade Chara? And I know that may be crazy, but why not trade a guy that's falling off the hill for nice young prospects when you might get that because there's gonna be a team that's looking for him. Even with him falling down, but people are going to want him. I mean, he's still for sure a great hockey player, but he's never going to be the way he was, even compared to the beginning of this year after his surgery.
No doubt, no doubt. The other thing with Chara too, like, or with Boston in general, this year should almost seem like a bit of a retinkering, in the sense that they've always been the elites of the Eastern Conference, and it seems like they've taken a step down this year. The big thing that hurt them too was Chara's injury at the beginning of the year, and you know, to lose him like that, it definitely cost them some games. And if I'm Boston right now, I'm looking to unload on a few guys. I mean, you've got Milan Lucic with a massive $6 million cap hit. He had one goal in all of December. Like, he's a guy who doesn't look like he's going to get any better as time goes. So why? That's a guy who, if I'm the Bruins, I'm looking to unload now. I'm looking to see if someone's interested in him, especially throughout the in the offseason too. I mean, there's a lot of options for Boston, and if I'm them, I'd look at least retinkering my lineup, because if they save some money on a few players or a few assets, there's definitely room for them to add actual legitimate players now. And I'm not saying Lucic isn't a legitimate player, but, you know, in all honesty, he's a 26-year-old who looks like he's declining. And I could be wrong. He could go somewhere and revamp his career and save the day, but honestly, though, like, he's got 11 goals this year. And for someone who, you know, people used to lose their mind, he was a 30-goal guy, he was this dominant power forward, when, you know, in reality, he's just he's already declining because he's already put his body through so much.
He may not have that many points due to Krejci's injury this year. I mean, it just shows you how much he relied on Krejci. I mean, there was such great chemistry. And they've kind of woken up a little bit with what's that guy's name with them on there? What's his name? The prospect with them that they just signed. But Lucic, I still think he's still got a lot in the tank. The thing with Boston is they don't have to go rebuild this thing. They've got Bergeron, they got Marchand, they got Lucic. They've got pieces to build off of. You got Malcolm Subban, Dougie Hamilton, Torrey Krug. This team is really good. It's just, they're in the cap situation. They're stuck in that situation. They got to get themselves out of it. You know, they traded Johnny Vogt forever, but they had to do it. They have to trade Chara, and just at least, even if you have to take back some salary, you do it, because you can get Dougie Hamilton. Watching this year, he may not be proving it offensively that he's a stud, but defensively, he's still going up against the best players and best teams. I mean, he's done very well. Tuukka Rask is an amazing goaltender. I think they just called up Malcolm Subban, maybe showing him off to Edmonton, because he may be playing against Edmonton tomorrow. Imagine Jordan. If they get Jordan Eberle on their team, no one's talking about Boston struggling anymore. We're going to be talking about how good they are again. They need that one player, and they're back up there.
No doubt. And just like, I don't know. I feel like this is kind of, I think the big thing that not a lot of people noticed was last year when the Bruins parted ways with Sean Thornton. I think that was almost, not symbolic, but I think it was the first step of them being like, all right, we had this reputation as the toughest team in the league. We were the hardest team to play against. We had the toughest fourth line. Oh, that was gross. But they've had this like reputation for being a physical, gritty team, and I think that was the first step of them kind of being like, you know what, we have to move to skill a little bit. You know, Adam McQuaid, who a lot of people kind of assumed as like a top four defenseman, the reality is, you know, he's not a top four D. And I think there's this they're starting to move towards that. They're starting to move towards, okay, we got to be more skilled. We have to have more talent. We have to, like we said, not rebuild, but retinker, because there's a lot of people on that roster who they can start to part ways with. Chris Kelly is going to be on his way out soon. Dennis Seidenberg, I think that you can trade him, and there's a team that someone's going to pick him up and someone's going to pay a hefty price for him, but we'll see. Chris, you got about a minute left. Any final thoughts?
I just want to say the NHL is changing, and a team like Boston and Philadelphia, you know, having your big, hard-hitting guys, you still need them, but it's a changing game. It's more fast. I'm excited. Like I said, it's going to be a good week. We're going to see a lot of things happen. You know, we'll see some teams drop out. Maybe this will be the week that Florida Panthers overcome the Boston Bruins. And it's an exciting time.
Right on. Hey, great show today, man. I think we did pretty half decent.
Yeah, we touched a lot of points.
You can follow me at Hunter Crowther. You can follow Chris at ChrisShannon16 on Twitter. Hit us up. If you got an opinion about hockey, you know, let us know. We'd like to hear it. I'm Hunter Crowther. Thanks for listening to the Hockey Guys podcast. Tune in next time for the next episode. And keep on keeping on.
Peace.